First 25th chapter of the book of Matthew. You've heard it before. We'll take a little different look at it this evening than we do sometimes. Beginning with the 14th verse. The first 13 verses of the 25th chapter of Matthew are the parable of the five wise and five foolish bridesmaids. If you've read that, and I know you have, you know that there's no action that takes place in that. They just are there. In the state of five being wise and five foolish, the only action that really takes place by those young ladies is for the five foolish to ask for some oil. But the parable beginning with verse 14 is not like that. It's an action parable. The Lord in His wisdom gave us both kinds. Now I'll read it to you. It's not too long, I hope. Kingdom of heaven, says a man traveling into a far country, who called his servants and delivered unto them his goods. Unto one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one, to every man according to his several ability. Straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the five talents went and traded with the same and made them other five. Likewise, he that had the two, he got two more. He that received the one went and digged into earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. So that he had received the five talents came and brought other five, saying, Lord, you gave me five, I got five more. His Lord said, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Same with the man that had two talents. Lord, you gave me two, I have got two more. His Lord said, Well done, good and faithful servant. The whole focus of this story is the actions that these people take, activities that they carry out. You've been faithful over a few things, I'll make you rule over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And then the man who received one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, and notice what this says, he's not reproved because he only had one talent. He's reproved because he didn't carry out actions. Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest not, and thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have mine own with usury. Therefore take the talent from him, and give it unto him that hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't think there's any advertising in this. I think the Lord meant exactly what he said. And those words with which this parable closes strike a chill of horror over my soul and terror. Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't want that to happen to me, and I don't want that to happen to anybody I know. I've seen some people do some pretty bad things in this world. Visited on death row, in the penitentiaries, known some other scoundrels and rascals here and there. But in my heart, I don't want to see any of them have to go to that place. I think they'd be better off to find the mercy of the Lord, time side of eternity. However, my little thought this evening is not about this third fellow. Let's just cross him off. Often when this passage of Scripture is preached on, that third man is sort of the focus of it all. But I don't take him for my pattern. I don't want to be like him. I don't want anything that happened to him to happen to me. I'm interested in thinking about these other two. And what the Lord said to them, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys of thy Lord." I'm sorry for the people who haven't got this salvation. I really am. Do anything I can to help them. But I don't want to be one of them. Got my mind made up by the grace of God. I intend to take advantage of my opportunities in life to be what the Lord wants me to be. Have you ever said to yourself, you know, I wonder just how close a person can get to the Lord? And just say, well, I think I'll try it out. I want to see just how much of God I can get in my life. Just make a purpose. Praying brings blessing. Now I'm going to be a praying person. Sacrifice brings a blessing. When God calls for something, I'm going to give it to Him. Worship service. That's a good place to be. I'm going to set myself by God's grace. Attend worship service. I mind something I heard Brother Hargrave say years ago. He was offered an opportunity to take a counseling position, but he's told he had to work Sundays. He said, he told those folks, all my Sundays are taken up for the rest of my life. Well, that's the kind of thing that I'm talking about. Person number three in this story, obviously he didn't do that. And he got something terrible that happened to him. I want to concentrate on the other two. So let's look at what happened in this parable. The kingdom of heaven, the Lord said. What do you think of when you think of the kingdom of heaven? You could say everybody that's saved. That's who the kingdom is. You'd probably say they're in the kingdom, wouldn't you? Or you could say everything that's under God's control. So as the Lord said once, that it's like a net that's cast into the sea, and it gets a fish of every kind. Or you could say the kingdom is like a field. The Lord said that, and an enemy came and sowed tares in it. Kingdom of heaven is where His power and authority is extended. Ultimately, that's everywhere. And the comparison, I'll say this again in another way. I already said it once. People make choices in their lives. All of us are the product of the choices that we make. And there is such a thing as saying, now I've weighed out life. I've thought about where the end is of people who want money, of people who want pleasure, of people who want power or recognition, of people who are lazy, of people who are careless. They just thought it out and said, I want the kingdom of heaven. That's what I want to do. More than anything else, I want the kingdom. This is what the kingdom is like then. If we want to understand it, here's how it is. It's like a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And he divided to them every man according to his several ability. There are two things that belong to the servants in this parable. One is the abilities, and the other is the talents that the Lord gave them. Our word talent in the English language means skill or ability. But of course, that's not what it meant in this story. We'd say dollars. Maybe dollars is a better word to use in the description. The Lord called His servants, and if you read this, It's in the 25th chapter of Matthew. The 25th chapter of Matthew is a record of one of the last messages that Jesus preached. It's impossible not to conclude that the Lord was telling his disciples and his apostles, my time with you is almost over. 3.5 years he spent educating them on what the kingdom of heaven is and what they were to do. And then he committed the whole gospel to them with the intention that they should take it to the whole world, and it's up to them. Yes. That's the impact of this story. I've been with you, telling you, now move your left hand, now move your right hand, go here, go there. Remember what he said to Peter? Forsake your nets, follow me, I'll make you fisher of men. I've been with you telling you that, but I am going away. And then it's going to be up to you what you do with the things that are given to you. That's the whole message here, isn't it? Yeah. There are abilities and there are talents, and they're going to be left in your control for an indefinite period of time. Mm-hmm. No one knows how long. But he's gone to a far country, and when his time has come, he's coming back again.
Yes, amen.
And this is a message that not only was for them, but the reason it's in the Bible is because it's also for you and me.
Yes, amen.
So we can look around us and say, Lord Jesus, where are you today? I believe he's with us.
Amen.
I believe he's here in our service.
Amen.
But I don't see him sitting here on the front seat anywhere, do you? He has delivered some things into our hands.
Mm-hmm.
And it's up to us what we do with them. Now, I've been a supervisor on a job situation and had the responsibility of giving tasks to other people to do and then be responsible for what they did with what was trusted to them. And I remember sitting down with my supervisor talking about what we were going to do. Look at the people that we have. Who can do this? Who can do that? Had a man one time who worked with us. His job was to go out into the composing room. I worked for a newspaper at that time. And he was to make a count of certain items out there. And that number that he got was very important. It was not one, there's a whole list of numbers. When he'd get out there, it was maybe 40 or 50 feet that he had to walk, and I guess that made him tired, because he'd get out there and forget to take any paper with him. So he'd write all those numbers down on his hand. And then, when it came lunchtime, he'd go in and wash his hands, and all the numbers were gone. Well, if you're trusting somebody with numbers and he's supposed to do it right, would you say he had the ability to do better than that? But you look at it and say, well, if these numbers are really important, maybe we need to put him back here washing up things, which we have some of that kind of work to do too, and let the man that will, at least if he forgets to take a piece of paper, he will walk 40 feet back and 40 feet the other way and get a piece of paper and write the numbers down so we can remember them, you know. You divide the people according to their several abilities. Do you have any control of the abilities that you have? Well, in one sense, no. In one sense, we don't have. I didn't have a choice about being a man or a woman. I didn't have a choice about being born an American citizen. I'm glad I was.
Yeah.
Having been in some other countries in the world, I'd rather be here than anywhere. But I didn't have anything to do with that decision. There are a lot of things in life that we didn't have any choice about. The importance of this story is not how many talents you have or how many abilities you have. It's what you do with the abilities that you have. The Lord made decision about the amount that he gave to each one based on what his assessment of each individual's abilities were. Yours and mine. And then the talents, I say dollars. One he gave $5,000, and another $2,500 or $2,000. And the third, $1,000, I think of those as the gifts of the Spirit. They're something that the Lord delivers to His servants according to what He sees their capacity is to handle them. Have you ever known someone who had a gift of handling money? I have. I've known some brethren who've had large amounts of money go through their hands. I'm not good with numbers. In my years pastoring, I've had folks come to me and ask business advice. Should I buy this house? Should I buy this car? And I prayed it through the first time that happened, and the Lord told me, that man's a better businessman than you are. You'd be better off to go get his advice than for you to try to give him advice. If he wants to ask me how to pray, that's what I know about. But when it comes to assessing the value of real estate, there are other people who can do that better than I can. It's a benefit to have somebody in the congregation who has a gift of just handling money. Some people just have a knack for making money grow. Have you ever been around someone like that? We got a brother in our congregation who's got a gift of wisdom, in my opinion. I value his advice. He's such an underspoken, soft-spoken man, it's easy to overlook him. He just has such a mild way of saying things, never puts himself forward. But if you listen to what he says, it makes a lot of sense. And to get you out of trouble, to follow his advice, save you lots. Now, how would you like to have somebody in a congregation like that? Just bad trouble come up, go to him, ask him, well, what shall I do? He can give you a wise answer. I know that man's not Jesus, but he's got a lot to offer. I like having some of those in the congregation, don't you? Yeah. The Lord has gifts. There are people who have just an optimistic, cheerful outlook on life. You know, the Bible said, if you got faith as a grain of mustard seed, you say to this mountain, be removed, cast into the sea. Last time I was in India, I remember flying by and looking out the window and seeing pilot came on, told us that's Mount Everest out there. A whole row of mountains over there that we could see off the edge of the plane. And they're still there. And if you gave me the power tonight to say to that mountain, be removed and cast into the Pacific Ocean, I don't know that I'd use it. What advantage would it be to me or you if that mountain moved into the Pacific Ocean? Would you care? No, but would you care, really? Well, then I have to think that's not the kind of mountain he's talking about. There are mountains in people's lives. There are mountains of trouble. There are mountains of grief and sorrow. There are mountains of depression and disappointment and despair that people get down under. And there are other people who have such a gift of God that it seems like nothing gets them down. They just got a smile. They just got a cheerful disposition, a happy way of approaching it. You believe that?
Yeah.
Well, it's true. And I wouldn't mind having some of those in our congregation, would you?
Yeah.
Just no matter how bad things are, just had a storm and hailstones came and beat holes in my truck and different things happened, come out the meeting and Brother Bill's truck is just as badly damaged as I am, and you get up and say, praise the Lord anyway. Wouldn't that be a blessing to you? My dad, a congregation in Shreveport, Louisiana, bought him a pickup truck. And he made a covenant with the Lord. He went in his private prayer place and he made a covenant. He said, Lord, this truck will belong to you from now on. And it's in your hands. So he had it 2 or 3 years or maybe 4 years, and then he had a hailstorm come along and just speckled it up. You ever seen a truck that's been in a hailstorm? Big old dents in it all over. Do you have hailstorms in Florida? They don't have those. Well, picture something big as these ice cubes are. Like that, falling out of the sky and hitting on your car, and that metal's not very thick anyway. My dad was standing there looking at the truck, and the congregation folks were gathered all around him, and he said they were feeling sorry for him. Brother Clifford, Sure, I don't know why the Lord allowed that to happen, and I know that's cost some money. And he said he went in to pray about it, and the Lord came by and said, I just want to check and see if our covenant was still in good standing. I could treat it like I wanted to, so my dad came out shouting the victory. How'd you like to have some of those where you go to meeting? Then no matter what happens, they just get something from the Lord that casts the mountain out of the way. And they go right on rejoicing. Well, these are the gifts that the Lord gives to folks. They lift us above ourselves. They make us able to succeed in life. Using gifts increases them. I'm not interested in that third guy tonight. He lost his talent. I'm interested in these other two. They're the ones I want to pattern after. Seed. Think about seed. Corn or wheat. If you put it in the ground, it grows. Doesn't it? Have you ever had dandelions down here? You know what those are? Yeah. Or crabgrass? Dandelions make that beautiful little yellow flower, and then they make that little puff ball, and it's full of seeds, and if the wind hits that and blows it into your yard, you just about can't get rid of it. You sow the wheat seed, and some of it's going to grow almost no matter what kind of ground you put it in. Seed are amazing. When we had our chapel in Oklahoma City, we put in a blacktop parking lot. We sprayed the ground before we put it in, try to kill everything that was under there. And they put the blacktop in maybe 3 inches or 4 inches thick. And it amazed me after some time had gone by. No water gets under there. But here come these seeds poking holes clear through that 3 inches of blacktop and broke it up. And here's little plants. Green, tender. You can break them off with your hands, but they made a hole in that blacktop. Seed will grow, folks. Seed will grow, but if you keep the seed in the barn, well, the weevils and the moths get in it. And it soon becomes not even good for you to eat if you didn't want to plant it. It just ruins. I'm thinking about us. Let me draw something on the board. Let's just call it a box. In a sense, every one of us are in a box. We are surrounded by forces we can't change. You know, I was born a man. I can't be a woman. I was born an American. I'm nearsighted. I wear contact lenses. If I couldn't get my contact lenses on, I couldn't recognize people 4 seats back. That's my box. All of us got a box. All of us got some limits on what we can do. Mm-hmm. You know? But we have also got, and I want to pick up this idea a little bit more of the kingdom of heaven and what it means to us. All my life, the Lord has dealt with my soul as far back as I can remember. And I've been aware that there is a right and wrong. And I've been aware that if I choose the wrong way, that little saying that I read to you about weeping and gnashing and teeth, that could come true to me. I'm deathly afraid of it. I do not want to go that way. In His mercy, the Lord helped me find a place where I got my sins forgiven. My soul was been washed and made white in the blood of the Lamb. I have a hope of eternal life. All around me, I see people being destroyed in sin. I'm absolutely desperate to do everything I can to keep from losing my soul. I deeply believe that the blood of Jesus Christ is the only way there is to have this kind of deliverance. I don't want to debate that with us this evening. Talk about what we've got to work with inside this box. The most important thing is to be saved. To be saved. Whatever it takes, we've got to be saved. Now, you can put other things in here and go other ways, and lots of people do. But in my opportunity in my life, and I know you and yours, we made up our minds we will follow Jesus. desperate to do it. And not only that, I want to do everything I can do from inside that place to reach everybody else that I can. That's what this is talking about. The parable of talents. That's what it means. So, one of the things you do as a reasoning, thinking human being is to look your box over and see where your limits are. Some things you can change and some things you can't. I may be able to push this out and make it look like this. And this may really be solid and there's nothing I can do with it. Should I explain that a little more? You understand what I'm trying to say? I was born not knowing very much. But if I want to go where the gospel is being preached, I can expand that. I can make my box bigger. There's some things in it that I can't change. Some things in the congregation where I worship that I can't change. Now, I'll give you a little example. I'm a pastor in LaRonger, Louisiana, Roberta and I, for about 10 years. Those people down there are very open, friendly people. And that whole part of the United States has a great respect for religion. So when folks found out I'm a minister, they're very respectful. They want to know everything we were doing. I remember one time we were airing out a mattress and set it out on the carport, and it wasn't long before the phone started ringing. And folks said, ask our daughter, what's your mother doing with that mattress out on her carport? They weren't really being nosy. They just wanted to know, and once they found out, then they were satisfied. That's the way I can't change that. That's the way they are. Now, the folks where we live now are not like that at all. They're in Louisiana. Every time somebody was sick a little bit, and it was a big congregation, our phone would ring. We're sick. We need you to come pray for us. We got folks in our congregation where we are now. They're like this. If they call you and say they're sick, what they mean is they're just one step away from the undertaker, and you better get over there as fast as you can, because they don't call till they're in real trouble. I can't change that. All I can do is make it worse if I keep pressing against it. But I want these people to go to heaven. And I want me to go to heaven. So I look this over and I think about it. What can I do with it? And I got these talents that the Lord's given me. And you have. Some that are in here. And I want to put them, and the Lord wants you to put yours to real, effective, practical use. Take advantage of the opportunities that we have in life. I'll give you a phrase for it. It's a Latin phrase, and it means carpe diem. It means seize the moment. Let's grab what we've got. The Lord's coming back. We don't know when. Let's take advantage of our opportunity and do everything we can to make this business as good as we can get it.
Amen.
And I intend to be real specific. I care about our young folks. And Roberta has spent a lifetime working with young folks. There are things, young people are different than us grown-ups. Children are different than us grown-ups. Sometimes in our congregation at home, we have children's meeting. Roberta used to have children's church with them from time to time. In the nighttime service, she'd take them outside and have their own little service for them. I well remember what my mother told me. Our children were small. We'd sit there in meeting for 2 hours or so, and they get restless, and we want to correct them for that. And I remember my mother saying to me about that, think how you'd be if you were in a meeting somewhere and you could not understand a single thing that was going on. Well, that's the way those little children are. They don't know what this is all about, what's being said. What is wrong with having something that focuses on them? Well, they understand that some of the ways that we can, now, different congregations have different ways of approaching it. But it's not wrong for us to find ways to use our imagination, our talents, our abilities, what God's given us, to think about ways to make this interesting to our children so they understand what we're trying to do. Now, here's something that the folks over in India taught me that they do with their young people. They have regular young people's meetings. in their spiritual young people's meetings. Instead of having a contest, you could say, the person who's leading the meeting will read a verse out of a song, out of our evening line hymnal. And he's saying, now somebody tell me the scripture that this song is based on. Because every song in there is based on the scripture. And who, see who can find it the fastest or give you a scripture that might challenge some of us, mightn't it? Name me a scripture that this song is based on. Or heaven. In some of our young people's meeting at home, I patterned what he said. Put everybody's name in the meeting in a hat and hold it up and let somebody draw it out. And whoever's name gets chosen, we tell that person, preach to us for 5 minutes a salvation message. And it just shocked the young people. They didn't think about preaching being anywhere but behind the pulpit right here. But I think it's good practice for young people to think about what you'd really say to somebody if you're trying to help them get saved.
Yeah.
Or another thing that's in there would say, pray like you would pray with somebody who's trying to get saved at the altar for 5 minutes. It didn't hurt them to learn how to do that. Use our talent, our ability, our understanding to think of ways and then apply them.
Yeah.
So that our young people find things that interest them and keep them involved. It's entirely within the context of the scripture to do that.
Yes.
When we first moved to LaRanger, the young people there were, I could actually say they were being persecuted. Some of the folks that we talked about last night had a very strong hand in that congregation. They were brutalizing the young people. They would actually tell parents, if you don't whip your children strongly enough, and they were talking about 17 and 18 year old children, if you don't punish them strongly enough, we're going to punish them for you. Roberta, for instance, in particular, took an entirely different approach to that. We went there and set up a volleyball net in the backyard of our where the parsonage was, and after the evening service and during the camp meeting and during the winter meeting, the young people had come down to our place and Roberta would serve them Kool-Aid and cookies. And after a while, the congregation started taking up some money. So we had chili and hot dogs and things, and they'd come there. And many of those young people are grown now. They're adults. And they've got children of their own that are that age. And they come back to us and tell us, some of them not even saved, but they say those were the happiest days of our lives. Because we were clean. We were with people who were doing wholesome things. I remember when I was a young person, on the Friday evenings, there used to always be a ball game going on, the local high school we attended. You would have events like that and all the other things that the school does and we don't participate in. Sister Marie Miles was there at the print shop, and Brother Fred Pruitt's daughter. She made sure that we had young people's meeting, and she'd have a lesson for us. And she had little booklets, and each one of us had our own little booklet, and we were to write our name in it, and we were to write down in it the lessons that we learned that time. Some of those young people, including Roberta, have still got theirs after all these years have gone by. And then after that was over, we'd have a little time where she'd have some cookies and some Kool-Aid, and the young people would sit around and visit with one another, and it didn't feel so bad because they weren't off down there shouting for the football people while they maim one another. You don't have to do it that way. But we need to do something with the talents that we have. And there is a time when you look at what this box is and you say, it's my turn. You know, I'm not talking about taking authority away from anybody. I don't mean that at all. I mean to have the willingness to say, I want to do something effective with the opportunity that I have within the box, graciously, kindly, not hurting anybody, not trying to violate any principles, anything of the sort. But I can do something for my young people, for the neighbors around me. Can I tell you how some of this works? Brother Roy Harmon was a carpenter, lived in Kansas City, building houses. Union came into that region. They wanted to unionize all the carpenters. If he wouldn't join the union, they told him, we're going to picket your house. We got men that walk up and down in front. You know what the pickets do. They got signs. Unfair. No, wages are not enough and the hours are too long and the sun's too hot. And and the water's not cold enough, and all the things you could think of that they put on those kind of signs. And Brother Harmon said, well, I can't join your union. They said, why? Because he said, I got some Bible right here that talks about not being unequally yoked together with unbelievers, and so I can't go along with you on that. But they came and picketed his house, and he'd tell his wife before he went to work, now those guys are going to be thirsty after a while, so she'd put a big old thermos full of ice water in his truck, and he'd call them in about 10 o'clock, and about noon, he'd call them over there and say, guys, I know that's hot out there where you've been walking down the picket line. Look, I got several ice cold watermelons here, and I'd like for you to split them up, and we'll sit around here and talk. Well, if you don't mind, he said, I'm going to have prayer before we split up our watermelons. And after a while, they quit picking in his houses. Everybody wanted to pick in his houses, but they said there wasn't any use to do it. He wasn't any threat to anybody. Folks, we can use our abilities. And we've only got a certain amount of time, and we're challenged to do it.
Yes.
To do it. Look, I care about this congregation, don't you?
Yes.
Don't you? It's not all up to Brother and Sister Clay or Brother and Sister Baxter. It's up to every one of us. Yes. Bring something to it. Can't there be somebody who just throws mountains out of the way? No matter how bad it gets outside of thundering and raining and look like the sky is falling, and here come somebody and say, well, brother, if the sky falls, we're going home.
Yes.
Let it fall.
Yes.
What's wrong with coming to meeting and having a good Holy Ghost testimony?
Amen.
Well, election came along and didn't elect who I thought they ought to. So the new mayor of the city of Miami, I don't know what he's going to do. And somebody else come out to the meeting and say, well, praise the Lord, I'm just as saved now as I was before the election took place, and I'm going to be saved the same way next year by God's grace, and come out and sing a good old victory song and sing it with comfort and encouragement and blessing. What's wrong with making up your mind to say, if there's only two of us there, I intend for one of us to be full of victory and blessing. And you know this thing is contagious. You start being that with something with yourself, and it'll get over on somebody else. It just keeps growing and growing and growing.
Yes, that's right.
What's wrong with doing that? Don't we have the ability? I remember Brother Chandler talking about shouting in the pulpit, leaping. He'd jump once in a while. He was a big man. He was about 6'6". And he said, the Lord showed him, you can leap anytime you want to. You don't have to wait till you feel good. You don't have to wait till you think the time is right. You can shout the victory anytime you want to. We got that privilege. We got that blessing. Thank the Lord for it. We got an ability, and if we follow our ability, the Lord will give us a talent. And everything spruces up when the talent gets there. Let's use it, folks.
Amen.
Let's use it.
Jesus.
It's contagious.
Yes.
It affects other folks.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes. Glory to your name.
You know, the devil will tell you many times down here, everything you're doing is in vain.
Mm-hmm.
You're not affecting anybody. You're not winning any souls. All you're doing is just being old-fashioned. Well, down here we may say everything we do is in vain. But up there we're going to say, I have 5 talents. Be faithful. Be faithful. You can't see everything that the Lord's doing in you and doing in me. I need you and you need me. Let's be a blessing to one another and lift one another up. Let's go to heaven, folks. We have the privilege to do this if we will. Set yourself, look around you and find things you can do. I'm thinking of a little sister I knew years ago. Lived in a big city just like this. Little shy girl, got married to a fella and moved into that city from out in the country and had country ways, I guess, and didn't know any of the neighbors. And lots of people are like that in a big city. Doesn't know the person who lived next door to you. But she come from the country, and so she got in her kitchen and baked a pie and took it over to the people next door and said, I'd like to meet you. And I guess her eyes got about as big as silver dollars. And her husband found out what she had done and said, what in the world is the matter with you? Well, I just wanted to be neighborly. And so after a while, she baked a cake and took it to somebody else on down the block. Anybody can do it. Do you have the talent to bake a pie or bake a cake? Well, I don't. But I do know how to change a flat tire if I need to, or something else of the sort. Folks, let's take advantage of the abilities that we have, because talents come with them. Talents come with them. I was discussing with someone the other day about Sister Carter in the Bakersfield congregation. My wife and I stayed in a home one time. She told us her story. She said, I was not raised as I believe now. I was raised among people who didn't believe in miracles or healing or any of those kind of things. She said, I was diagnosed with cancer. And it was bad. Said, I was scheduled for a surgery. And said, Sister Catherine Williams was in the Bakersfield congregation. She came and told me, we've got a pastor down here who prays for people with cancer. Well, she said, that's good. Said, would you let him pray for you? Said, yes, of course I would. Brother Chandler went out to her house to see her. She was out hanging out clothes on the clothesline. And he had two or three of his deacons with her and laid hands on her and prayed for her. And two or three days later, you know what happened next. And she went in to get the x-ray. The doctor said, we can't see any sign of cancer anywhere. And the next thing that happened after that was, I said to Sister Catherine, when can I start going to church with you?
Amen.
And so she did. And so did her husband. And so did her children. And it's still there today. The children are. She and her husband are going on to their long home. That's how these things happen, folks. If we use the ability, God's had a way of giving the talents. Now, I'm not going to saddle Brother Clay that he's got to heal people of cancer, although I believe the Lord is able to do that by his prayers. But I tell you what, you start using the abilities that you have, who knows what talents the Lord's going to give you? And if he gives them, he'll give opportunity to use them, because look what is at the end of this. Two things, so important. Well done. You can't control the blocks altogether. God sets a lot of that. God sets the congregation that you're in. God sets the style of life that you have. A lot of us, in a lot of ways. How much money you have. You can't change all of that. But those things we can work with on the inside of that, when we look it over and say, here's what it is, and here's what I can change, and here's what I can't. And we make our minds up to work with the things that we can to make it as good as we can. There is a place where the Master comes back and says, you did it right. Well done. Well done. I don't know anything I'd rather hear in my life than that. Do you? I've been pushing on my box a while. It'd be too much to say. Been around the world from both directions. Been in Bangkok, Thailand. I've been in Singapore. Several places in India, Cochin. Been Taiwan and Hong Kong and London, England. And several places in Germany. In Amsterdam. Pushing on my box. Because somebody offered me a little bit of money and none of it was for money. Somebody offered me the chance because there was money to pay for the tickets and so forth and said, if the Lord makes a way for me, I'm going to go carry this gospel wherever I get a chance. And I don't regret a minute of it. And I recommend it to you, working for the Lord. I don't mean necessarily the missionary work, but you can make what's inside this box. You can do things in here. All of us can if we will.
Amen.
All of us can. I've told you where I've been around the world. But I serve a man who never got more than 30 miles from home. That's the Lord Jesus. And in those things we've had some adventures. I've watched my wife sprain her ankle and roll down the hill in the dark with that sprained ankle where the cobras were known to be. And her crying for help along the way. I've watched the Lord heal her ankle while we were in India. And make her able to continue walking on it against all nature. I've had experiences in Germany in similar manner, etc. I don't like to say too much about all of those kind of things. But folks, I want you to know, when you start using the abilities that the Lord gives you, He has a way to bless the talents. He has a way to make it go and do more than you ever dreamed it could do. Let it be so with you. Let it be so with you. Take advantage of your chance in life. Maybe I've said enough. I'm repeating myself now. The scripture said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." My sister's gone. When she was in her last illness, she called for me. And asked for a quiet moment, and she said, "Ed, what's it like? What's going to happen?" There's a place, I told her this, and it's true, said, "Pat, there's a place where you've got to go alone. Nobody else can do that. We all love you and we'll all be right here with you, but there's a place where you're slipping out of this body and you got to go by yourself." And I said, "The Lord will be there." You know, the most awful thing there is to lose control. And this is what this scripture is talking about, wailing and gnashing of teeth. Another place is spoke, well, it says it here, "Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness." That's to completely lose control. Now, I'll not major on it very much or expound on it much, but I want to say, oh, to be able to see the Lord. I told her, go toward the light. When you feel your spirit leaving your body, go toward the light. And I believe that. Stephen saw it. The heavens opened. And Jesus standing there, and to hear Him say, and to know, in spite of all the temptations, in spite of all the chances to turn back, "I made it. This is it, I made it." Yeah. To have the Lord say, "Forever, enter thou into the joys of thy Lord." Yeah. That's worth whatever it costs us, folks. Let's do it.
Amen.
God bless you, and God bless me. Amen. And keep us in His great hand and control.
Amen.
I'm so grateful that you permit Roberta and me to come and be in your worship services with you. I don't feel superior to any of you. I just want to go to heaven with you.
Amen.
And if you see me along the way, give me a boost if you can, and I'll try to help you. Let's throw the mountains out of each other's way if we can. Can we do that?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.